Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, like Cam Akers, who's going to join us in 4 minutes. Running back for your Los Angeles Rams. This segment brought to us also by Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. Can keep your family going, which means more outside fun for you. With whole grain oats and real delicious honey, it's really tasty too. Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars. And brought to us by Straight Talk Wireless, because that's what Cam Akers is going to be giving us, the Straight Talk. So we'll talk to Cam Akers. I want to ask him about this superhero thing, who his favorite superhero is. Is Batman a superhero? So we have it on my Twitter right now, at Sedano, S-E-D-A-N-O. Hashtag National Superhero Day is the number one trending thing in Los Angeles today. The question is Batman a superhero? Greg Bergman vehemently arguing against it with over 1,600 votes, though. 76.2% of the audience says yes, that Batman is a superhero.
If you are a layman when it comes to comic books, then you think that
layman.
Batman is a superhero.
You're,
yes.
Such a,
you like that?
You're such a jerk. You are such a jerk face right now. Oh, if you're a layman when it
comes to comic books. And you just watch he's in the superhero movie genre, so people just assume, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. They don't, without even thinking about it, the first thought is, yeah, he's a superhero. But when you actually think about it, no, he absolutely is not, because he does not have that superpower. So that's why I'm using that layman term that you despise so much.
Oh, you're such a layman if you don't read comic books. You just watch the movies.
No, it's not even watching the movies. It's just assuming that, like, oh, yeah, Batman, superhero. There's no thought behind it. Your vote means nothing to me, George. I'm not taking an L on this one.
I'll take an L. 76% of the audience. Yeah.
Did we get it from YouTube?
We'll ask Cam Akers in a few minutes. He's going to join us in a second. In the interim, a couple of things that I wanted to talk about that I didn't get a chance to talk to earlier. If you missed the beginning of the show, the Lakers are talking about possibly reopening. Report yesterday from Dave McMiniman that the Lakers have been in touch with the LA mayor's office, Eric Garcetti, to discuss the possibility of opening their practice facility for players. Despite the current shelter-at-home orders not expiring till May 15th, that's what Dave is reporting, and he's going to join us at 11:40, and we'll get the specifics from him, and we'll talk to him about superheroes and mythical games between the Warriors and the Lakers and Shaq and Kobe, that Draymond Green is saying that they would destroy Shaq in the pick-and-roll. But in regards to this particular situation, the club reportedly held a conference call on Monday, outlining the safety measures and the protocols that players and staff members and everyone would have to follow for workouts to resume out there in El Segundo. So, look, we were talking about this yesterday, that I felt like this notion that they were talking about reopening the facilities for teams when the stay-at-home orders are lifted, I felt like was at least one step in the right direction. So we'll talk to Dave more about that. I do think it's a big deal. I think in baseball, we're hearing a lot of rumblings about that too. And I know Jeff Passan was talking about that on SportsCenter yesterday, that there's a lot of incentive for both the players and the executives, despite some of the superstars in that sport not interested in leaving their families. There's a lot more support from the rank and file to get this thing going. And I think, again, all of this is about testing. Testing, testing, testing for the general public, for the healthcare workers. And I think that now slowly is starting to also trend in the right direction. And once that happens and they hit that magic number of 500,000 tests a day, I believe that the leagues will be able to move forward and feel like politically they won't take a ton of backlash, because they're not taking away from the general public and the healthcare workers, and from a morality standpoint too. All right, let's go to the phones. James in Portland real quick before we get to Cam Akers of the Rams. He wants to chat about this superhero thing. What's up, James?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking the call.
Hey.
So I just wanted to point out, I don't think you're really clearly defining what Batman's actual power is, because it's not just his gadgets and his money. Batman has the most extreme contingency planning, and I would say that actually borders on supernatural.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. Look, I just look at it as a superhero is a person who does heroic deeds, but does them in a way that a normal person couldn't. And he is clearly that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, actually.
Huh?
I totally agree with that, to be honest.
Okay,
and
fair.
Yes, there's the idea of having supernatural powers, but you can just take a normal thing and elevate it to that level, which Batman has done.
Oh, and by the way, and thank you for the call, James. Do you want to know where this definition I've gotten from a superhero is? You want to take a guess, Mr. Merriam-Webster Dictionary?
Is it from the Oxford Dictionary? I have no idea.
No. It's from Stan Lee, Mr. Dorky Comic Book Guy. That's his definition of a superhero. So go argue with the late, great Stan Lee.
I will never, ever argue with Stan Lee.
All right, let's talk to Cam Akers. We don't need to argue with him, but we'll ask him the questions that we've been asking. Cam, congratulations, man, on being drafted to the Rams. Hopefully we'll welcome you to L.A. here pretty soon. But we've been having
appreciate it.
Yeah, man, for sure. So we've been arguing today. Today is National Superhero Day. So we've been arguing, is Batman a superhero? What does Cam Akers say?
Well, I'm not a big Batman fan. So, you know, I think Batman is kind of lame. That's not one of my favorite superheroes. I'm more of a Thor type of guy.
Okay. Okay. So Thor is your favorite superhero?
Definitely. Thor.
Okay, is that how you treat people when you're running through the line of scrimmage and you're bowling people over?
I treat people like the Hulk. Just move out of the way.
Well, I mean, listen, man, I've been following your career. I'm an ACC guy, though I'm a Miami guy. I got to tell you that up front. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? Okay, but we can be friends now. You know what I'm saying? You're not playing with Florida State anymore.
Yes, sir. That's over with.
Okay, so look, I followed your career. You were the number one running back out of high school. You know, you come to a Florida State team, and look, it wasn't the traditional Florida State teams. You guys had some up and down years, but your play was so consistent. What was it about what you were able to accomplish there and how you were able to grow as a player that allowed you to kind of be the player you became?
The surrounding, of course, the surrounding people I had around me, you know, the staff, the players, I think me just growing and being able to fight through adversity, being able to get through certain situations, you know, certain injuries, certain unforeseen situations that, I wasn't expecting, you know. I think that made me not just a better player, just a better young man, you know, a better young man. I think it made me stronger. I think it made me smarter. And ultimately, like I said, just a better young man, you know. I think my time at Florida State just ultimately made me a better man.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think there's any question. Now, what did you know about the Rams? Had you been in contact with them prior to the draft?
Yes, sir. I had definitely been in contact a little bit at the combine. You know, I had a formal meeting, so I sat down and got to talk with everybody. A few calls, you know, before I wasn't able to get out and go on visits because of the whole corona thing. So, you know, I wasn't able to get out and go on visits or anything like that. But I was definitely in contact and had a lot of contact with the Rams.
What did you make of your conversations with McVay? He's an impressive dude. He can be intense too.
Yes, sir. I just tried to make the most of tell him what he was getting. You know, the type of player he was getting. You know, pretty much that was my whole thing. You know, just wanted to let him know that I'm a player that he can trust. You know, I'm a dependable player, somebody you can depend on. You know, just making him feel comfortable with the player, you know, that he was trusting to join his running back room and join his team. You know, just making coach feel comfortable and letting him know that, you know, I'm here to play, I'm ready.
Have you seen those crazy videos of him recollecting plays from, like, when he was, like, an assistant coach and he could literally break down every game in his head without seeing the film? Have you seen that stuff before or no?
I've seen a little bit of it. I didn't get to see, you know, the whole video. I just saw a little bit of it.
Yeah, that's crazy, though, right? Like, my guess is not everybody can pull that off, right?
No, we're close to everybody, you know. Coach McVay, he's a great coach, you know. I mean, I think that just his track record and the way he coaches shows it for itself, you know. Just the example you just gave, you know, just that one alone just shows you how committed he is to perfecting his craft, you know, and making sure that the team is in the best position to win, you know. And when you got a coach like that, the team has no choice but to follow.
What have they told you about the running back competition, Cam?
They told me, you know, of course, Todd Gurley just left. So, you know, It just basically told me to come in and compete. You know, the position is open. It's up for grabs. You know, and it's all about competition. You know, we all gonna come in and compete, and we're gonna work. You know, make each other better, and ultimately, you know, see who wins the starting job. You know, and whoever does that, we're gonna support each other. That's ultimately what it's about: supporting each other and competing.
Cam Akers joining us here, second round pick of the Rams, 52nd overall. Running back out of Florida State with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN here in L.A. What have you been doing? Like, where are you right now as far as and how are you training? How are you able to just kind of get yourself going with all that's going on?
As we speak right now, I'm when you guys called, I was in the middle of working out. You know, while you guys were called, I'm at D1 back at home in Mississippi and Madison. I'm out here training. Just make sure I stay in shape, make sure I do whatever I can to make sure I don't lose anything, make sure I stay in shape. And when we're able to start implementing plays or whatever we're putting in, making sure I put my best foot forward to learn it, you know, just doing my part, you know, even though we're not able to be at the – I'm not able to be in L.A. right now, I'm not able to be with the team, I still want to make sure I'm in shape and ready to go when I'm able to.
It is hard to stay in shape. And look, obviously what we're dealing with is very serious, as we all know. But, you know, that aside for a second, it's tough. I mean, it's tough for regular people, let alone you guys, to stay in shape. You know, everybody's at home. The snacks are good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's hard to stay in shape right now.
Yes, sir. It's definitely hard. You know, I mean, I'm from Mississippi, so it's a lot of good soul food, a lot of good country eating. But, you know, I got to stay away from it.
What? So give me what's going on there. Like, what is the best meal that you could have that is traditional to Mississippi that you're like, ooh, I don't know how much of that I could keep eating if I want to stay in the best shape I can?
Rotel dip. Rotel dip, yeah. And three meat rotel.
Wow. All right, cool. So let me ask you this. What else have you been doing? Like, what have you been? I actually had Sean on recently, and he was telling me, because he and I go back for a little bit now, and I always joke with him that he needs to do a better life work balance. So he said that the pandemic, that coronavirus has allowed him to do that. So he's been starting to watch Tiger King. He's been watching Ozarks. He's been watching Game of Thrones, all stuff he couldn't watch before because he was so consumed by football. What is Cam Akers up to right now when he's home just chilling?
I play a little bit of Call of Duty, Warzone. You know, I play a lot of Call of Duty, actually. See, Cam Akers' life right now is just working out and playing the game and spending time with family, you know. Not much to do right now with everything going on, you know, just kind of taking it all in, enjoying a little off time, if that's what you want to call it.
Now, can fans play you in Call of Duty, or is that, like, do you not want that?
Come see me in Call of Duty. If you think you're better than me, yes, be more than welcome. Add me. I set the gamer tag out. Anybody can ask me on social media. Just ask me for the gamer tag. I'll give it to you.
All right, there you go. We'll get the Rams fans to get at you on Call of Duty. What other games are you playing? You playing Madden at all or no?
I'll play, but I'm not going to just promise I'm good at it. I'm not going to say I'm bad, but okay. I'm not going to promise I'm good. But I'll play. I'll play.
Okay. All right. So, but Call of Duty is your thing.
Call of Duty is my thing for sure.
All right. That's cool. So, but not watching anything? Like, you haven't taken up a show?
I definitely watch Tiger King. I watched that whole show.
All right.
I tried to start Ozark. Ozark is a good show, but it's just so long.
Okay. Did she kill him?
Did I kill him?
No. Did she kill him? Do you think?
If you asking me, I'm just gonna say I don't think she innocent. That's all I can say. I don't want to be the one to accuse her. I just don't think she innocent.
Well, I think the internet agrees with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Listen, I'm with you. I've watched only a little bit of it. And I'm kind of like, I tried to fight against it because I don't know about you. Everybody was all into it. I'm like, man, that I almost cursed. That looks so stupid. And then all of a sudden, it sucks you in.
And I almost get you.
I know. It's crazy. Cam Akers, newest member of your Los Angeles Rams, 52nd pick overall. Take it in the second round. Hey, Cam, we're looking forward to you eventually getting out here to L.A. Thank you so much for taking the time, man. Stay healthy, stay safe, and good luck. And we'll talk to you soon.
No problem. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. There he is, Cam Akers, with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. And he thinks Carol Baskin took out her husband, Joe Exotic. There you have it. And he's on Bergman's side. He's not a Batman guy. He thinks Batman is lame. Do you think he's lame, Bergman?
Lame? I think that's a little bit tough to say lame. No, but I do like that someone's on my side for once that's a guest. I think that's the first time on this show.
It doesn't happen very often. Yes, that's for sure. It definitely doesn't happen very often. Coming up next, Isaiah Thomas uses LeBron to take a shot at Jordan. This petty war between those two is getting crazy. We'll get into that. Stick around. We're back in 4 minutes. Bum-ba-dum, bum-ba-dum. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Cam Akers for joining us here. Running back for your Los Angeles Rams. This segment presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Dave McMiniman is going to join us at 1140. We're going to talk to him about the Lakers opening their facility. And I was kind of hinting at some of that stuff, that I felt like that was the direction we were going to start going. And I am curious, though. Bergman, how do you feel the layoff will affect them? Would you be worried about it? I mean, even LeBron has talked about that would be kind of his one concern.
Yeah, I mean, it has to affect most people. People like Giannis don't even have a hoop to shoot on. I mean, it has to affect it. They're going to have to take some time to get themselves back into game shape. We're having a whole new offseason.
Yeah, and again, LeBron has been a guy that historically has ramped up, right? His conditioning and things of that nature. Now, I know he started off really strong this year on defense particularly, but he kind of then went back into his regular mode like after November and ramped his way up. And they ramped their way up to, look, beating the Clippers and Bucks in that final weekend before we really had to shut things down. And they were the team to beat, I thought, at that point. So it is going to be an interesting experiment. I'd love to get Dave's thoughts on that, since he's been around LeBron for so many years now, that how he believes LeBron will kind of have to either change his methods or alter his methods as far as kind of getting himself going. It's probably why, and he's not alone in this, but it's probably why, you know, Brian Windhorst and a lot of these guys have talked about a 20 to 25 day ramp up, right? Whether it's a mini preseason, mini training camp, whatever, and just kind of getting themselves going. I actually think what they could do is take those regular season games they want to play, because I think the magic number they want to play to is 70. And if they can do that, I think that you almost treat those games, I guess, exhibition games, even though they count in the standings. So I feel like that allows you, if you get to that point, that allows you to get them going. But yeah, I'm curious to see how Laker fans would feel about it, because you know, historically, that's something that LeBron has done, and he's even alluded to it, that he's just, you know, he's got to figure out how to get his body right, because he's been training by himself most recently, but it's not the same. And he just recently was able to get back with his trainer a couple weeks ago, Mike Mancius. And there's a lot of things there at play. And let's face it, all those guys need a little ramp up. But the most important player on this roster is LeBron. And if LeBron isn't working as a fully functional, you know, cyborg like he normally is, then, you know, you try to figure out how to get him to that point. If not, it could be understandable why they would worry.
Yeah, he actually talked about it in that Zoom meeting. He said that his body was just at that point of where he was supposed to go. And he said to him when he went, it got shut down, was, what are you doing? Why are you stopping playing? What is going on? I'm just getting to that ramp up point that you were talking about. So he has absolutely talked about it, and his body doesn't understand why he's not in the middle of a season right now.
877-710-ESPN. Yeah, his body's like probably atrophying a little bit. Like, hey, wait a second. We were rolling. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
877-710-ESPN. Does the layoff, I mean, first of all, I know everyone's got to be excited. My thought is, right, that there is a potential of them having individual workouts. But are you worried about a potential layoff? Because I do think we're headed in that direction where eventually we will have games. Call me an optimist, call me too positive, whatever it is. But I believe that that's the case. 877-710-ESPN. I mentioned Isaiah Thomas. So Isaiah Thomas and Jordan, as we talked about yesterday a ton, after watching The Last Dance, clearly they still hate each other. I mean, it's fairly obvious, right? Like, I don't think we're hiding any government secrets here at this point. And speaking of government secrets, boy, do I have something for you in a second. So stick around for that. But well, how's that for a tease? But Isaiah Thomas, he's been doing the media rounds, right? And in one of the tours that he did, he was everywhere yesterday, ESPN, everywhere, whatever. And he was asked about LeBron and this era's players, KD and LeBron specifically, and them playing in the 80s. And he was asked, you know, how would LeBron and KD and those guys fare in the MJ era? And Isaiah said this, if you put LeBron and KD in the 80s with their skill, with their talent, and their athleticism, who's the GOAT then? I mean, that is some shade of shade of shade, okay? Like, he can't help himself, and I don't blame him, because clearly Jordan isn't mincing words with him either. I mean, he called him a bleep hole on national television as 6 million people were watching a documentary on Sunday. But, I mean, I didn't want to have to go down this rabbit hole of who the GOAT would be, but I'll tell you this, and I've said this before, and I'll stand firm on this. Kevin Durant's body is not a lot different than George Gervin's body, okay? If anything, Kevin Durant is taller and a better shooter, clearly, than George Gervin was. So to argue that Kevin Durant couldn't play in the 80s as George Gervin was a great 70s and 80s player, you know, is ridiculous. And again, Durant, a superior player than George Gervin. To say that LeBron, who's built like Karl Malone and Magic Johnson, or stronger even, with the athleticism of a Michael Jordan, to say he couldn't play in the 80s is absurd. Okay? It's just borderline ridiculous. Now, would he be the best player if he fared off in the Jordan era? I don't know, because Jordan just had a different mindset. And I think LeBron had to grow into that mindset. It's kind of like, I know we've been making the Batman analogies here all day because we've been talking about superhero talk on National Superhero Day. And by the way, you can vote, is Batman a superhero, at Sedano on my Twitter page, S-E-D-A-N-O. 76% of the vote right now saying yes. So it's kind of like in The Dark Knight Rises, where the Dark Knight, Christian Bale, is fighting Bane, and you know he shuts down the lights, and he goes, oh, Bane says, oh, the dark. I was born in the dark. You were merely adopted it. Or I think it was the opposite. He actually said, I screwed the whole thing up. Anyway, you get the point. He said, you know, you merely adopted the dark. I was born in it. And yeah. That's kind of like MJ and LeBron. LeBron adopted the killer mentality, instinct that everyone wanted to have because he was a kid when he came into the sport. He wasn't a grown-ass man like Michael Jordan was playing at North Carolina when college basketball was at its peak, basically, in the 80s, as far as the talent level was concerned. So guys were staying several years in college at that time. So he came into the league more of a man and with a different sense of a mentality and different sensibilities than, of course, LeBron did. But clearly LeBron adopted that. And he was, much like Jordan, someone who was forged under the fire of losing early in his career, not winning the big one. And I think that they have a lot more in common than people think. But this notion, to Isaiah's point, I don't know if I'd go as far as to say one of those two, LeBron or Kevin Durant, would actually be the greatest of all time over Jordan. But to say that they wouldn't be able to compete, there are plenty of people that push back on that. That's just stupid. Like, you're just being silly at that point. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. James is in Downey. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on, Sedano?
Hey, bud.
I just want to say thank you for staying on the air. I'm an essential worker, and so it really helps me a lot hearing all.
Oh, man, listen. Thank you for being an essential worker and doing what you do for us, man. Don't worry about me, but thank you.
So when it comes to the Lakers coming back, am I worried? Yes, but not in a way because everyone's on a level playing field. So, you know, I know Doc said about Kawhi's going to come back in the best shape of his life, but you know what? He has to ramp it up too. So does PG. So I just feel like everyone is on the same playing level. Giannis got healthy. And, I mean, the Lakers kind of built themselves such a nice lead that they can take the next few games, even if they're going to count, just to, you know, relax, exhibition, play a few minutes here, a few minutes there. I feel the ones we should really worry about are the ones actually trying to make the playoffs. Because, you know, you're going to have Zion going to try to go full force out there just to wheel his seat into the playoffs. So I'm not really worried. I just want to see them Hopefully no one gets hurt, because then that wouldn't be fair. But in the end, I think them coming back, playing with those games, it should be okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. That is an interesting point. Everybody is going to be on a level playing field. I just think LeBron's body, and thanks for the call, man. And again, thank you for what you do. We appreciate it. Is different at 35 than maybe Giannis, right? Or even Kawhi coming off some of these injuries in PG. I think that their ramp up may be quicker, potentially. And I think that would be the concern with LeBron specifically. Coming up next, I was just talking about college basketball and the difference between, you know, Jordan playing in the 80s in college basketball and having to play against the best competition that college basketball had at any given time, really. But college basketball is under siege, and the NBA is coming after it. And I'll explain what that means in a second. Plus, if you're Aaron Rodgers, should you be asking for a trade? Or would he look soft and petty in that situation? Mentally soft in that situation. We'll get into that. Plus Dave McMiniman at 11:40. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Dave McMiniman coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll chat with him about the Lakers potentially opening up their facilities again. And we were talking about that and some of the concerns. Before I get into the conversation I was going to have about college basketball being under siege and the NBA trying to kind of bury it in some ways, and Aaron Rodgers, I just jumped in to my chair because I went to grab something to drink here at home, and you and Laura Bergman were discussing something. Laura, what were you guys discussing?
Okay, so we got back into the Batman debate, and I said, I understand where you're coming from, because theoretically, yes, he's not technically a superhero, but I can't do the things that he does. No matter how much I train, I can't do that. And he took it into a sports analogy, and I said, no, because regardless, not everybody can be an NBA player. And then
correct.
I took it into a singing thing where I can practice, go to vocal coaches, be on a choir, but that doesn't mean I'm going to have the ability to sing no matter how much I practice and put effort. If you can't sing, you can't sing.
Now, that's Bergman, you tried to make the case that what? About singing.
About singing, that I honestly believe that if you are from a very young age, if you put in the time and the effort and it's like your biggest passion and you work at it every day, all day, yes, you can become a very good singer. I live by the mantra of you can be anything you want to be. And I'm going to tell my kids that too. No matter what, if one of my kids says, I want to be a professional singer, then you better start working on it and you better put in the time and effort needed to do it.
Okay, Greg, I look, you could do all the voice coaching, the diction coaching, all the stuff, the pitch coaching, all that stuff you want. If you don't have the natural ability to sing, you can't sing. Like, not sing professionally. Like, that is absolutely not true. And I will open it up to the audience too. And I bet you there's plenty of people listening. As a matter of fact, I know we have people that listen to this show that work in the music industry, because I text or I tweet with them and DM with them all the time. Hopefully they're listening right now and they can call at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. But there, and maybe you just know somebody that works in the music industry or works, you know, in music in general. There's no way in hell you can ever convince me that someone can learn to be a great singer. You have to have a sense of natural ability.
I think just if you start from a very young age, it's possible. I'm not going to ever say.
You think it's an acquired skill is what you're trying to say.
I think it can be. Most singers, I think, are just naturally gifted. And I think that's usually the way to go. No. Yes, because it needs to be couched. It does need to be couched. I'm not going to. But I think you can.
You know what? Let me ask you this. Are you a good dancer?
Yes.
Because you're doing the moonwalk right now.
Jeez. You set me up for that so well. Go to your NCAA thing.
All I'm saying is get people on the phone right now. There's no way you can ever make me believe that singing. Listen, Bergman, I had a friend, a girl that I grew up with, okay, that was a great singer when we were kids, okay? And she's probably still got a pretty decent voice. My guess is as an adult. And we were in like college and she was still singing, and she had to give it up because even as good as I thought she wasn't as good as some of the people who were more naturally talented than her. Like, I don't buy that for a second.
That's fine, but I mean, I don't know how much effort and time she put in.
She put in every day, music classes, voice classes, all that stuff. She did all the things that you would do. She was even signed to one of those starter record label contracts. She was not good enough to continue it because she couldn't keep up with some of the people that were more natural.
I think at some point on these types of topics, like, you can make your point, and you're probably right, but I still believe my side of it too, and I'm never going to tell anybody, no, you can't be a professional singer if you don't put in the time and effort to it.
877-710-ESPN, 877-710.
We can agree to disagree.
3776. Right now, by the way, you're taking a big L on this poll today. Is Batman a superhero? Hashtag National Superhero Day. 75.2% of the vote, 2,600 votes say yes.
Greg, take the L.
How many votes does Cam Akers count for? Because if Cam Akers would have been like, he's a superhero, you would have shoved it down my face.
Listen, you and Cam Akers can take the L on this one. It's okay. No, he went to Florida State. The last couple of years, they've taken a lot of L's at Florida State. So he'll be fine. He can survive. He'll be okay. So real quick on the NBA, or excuse me, college basketball being under siege. So there's a new story. We talked about this last week, right? Where the young fellow, his name escapes me at the moment, the original player who went to the G League.
Galen Green.
Yes, Galen Green. He went and told all these colleges. He was a five-star recruit, arguably one of the top three or four guys in college or high school basketball. He said, nah, sorry, Kentucky and Duke and all these schools and USC. I'm going straight to the G League and going to use that carve out they have for, you know, recruits coming out of high school. And those guys are going to play here in LA. There's going to be a separate team that's going to play here in LA. I believe Sam Mitchell is going to be the coach, and it's going to be an independent team. And now there's a second player added to that mix, Deshaun Nix, who was a UCLA recruit, right, Greg?
Yeah, he was a UCLA recruit. Top five. He was a five-star recruit. There's Isaiah Todd, who's another guy that's doing this as well. So, but the difference is that Deshaun Nix was signed a letter of an intent to go to UCLA. He was signed and sealed to UCLA, and he backed out to go to the G League, which I don't think is a problem.
No,
good for him.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I mean, but this is the NBA coming after the NCAA.
Yeah, and they should, to be honest with you, because not everyone wants to be in college and make it a sham, right? So let's just let these guys who are uber talented do what they want to do, and have the right track. Speaking of talented folks, Julian is in LA, is a local artist in LA, and he wants to chime in on this singing conversation that we just had. Hello, Julian. What's up?
Not much. I just jumped in the car, and I'm driving around on the empty streets out here in L.A. I've been an artist since 82, and a dancer, a singer, actor, all that stuff. And I'm in the game right now as a filmmaker, actor, and so forth. I heard what Greg had to say. I'm not sure who Greg is. It's nice to say that. And it's great to, you know,
us either.
What's that?
I said us either. We have no idea why we let him on here every day. He just like walks in and just be part of the show. Anyway, go ahead, Julian. Okay. Sorry.
No, but I heard what he said. And look, as a father and all that, that is great. Give your kids as much support and all that. But the truth of it is, you're either born with a certain talent, and that has to do with singing, acting, football, sports, whatever. And then the ones that don't have it, and they can practice and do what they want, and they go to a certain plateau. But to become a great actor, a singer, you're born with that talent. I mean, let's take the analogy of Barry Sanders. You can train as much as you want. You're never going to be a Barry Sanders or a Dion or Tom Brady.
Right.
There's a certain plateau you get, and then the rest is God-given talent. So, it's great as a father and as a mother and a supporter, tell your kids, yes, do what you can, but there's a reason. When I went to film school, they said, look, take a technical course, because everyone wanted to be a director, and they said everyone's not going to be a Steven Spielberg, so take a editing class so you can go out there and make a living. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you exactly. Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Julian. Appreciate it, man.
You got to stay safe and healthy out there.
You too, man. Take care. So, Laura, can you cue it up one more time for Greg?
Oh, Bergman's the king of L's at that stage.
You're just taking L's. All right, no more L's for Bergman, or will there be? Because Dave McMiniman is going to join us in a second. But real quick, before that, Tony Kornheiser, I want to get Aaron Rodgers in here real quick. You know, look, Aaron Rodgers is, I've talked about this. He's one of the few guys in sports that I got to watch every time he plays. But listen, we need to stop with he wants to ask for a trade. I love Tony Kornheiser. He's one of the best in this business, been doing this a lot longer than I have, and he's at the mountaintop. But it doesn't mean I have to agree with everything he says. Here's what he said about Aaron yesterday on PTI.
I think Aaron Rodgers ought to consider asking for a trade. That's how much I think this is a ridiculous pick on their part. Aaron Rodgers does not have around him what Mahomes does, what Breeze does, what even Garoppolo does. Every year they don't draft anybody to help Aaron Rodgers. And they say, you're so great. Go out there and turn water into wine. And pretty much all the time he does that. This could not happen on any other team in the league because other teams have owners. And you would have to go to the owner and say, we're thinking of trading up to get a quarterback. And the owner would say, what? What are you, nuts? Get out of here.
Now, I agree with his logic, at the end of the day, the organization also has to look after themselves. And Aaron Rodgers is 36 years old, and even though he got the Packers to an NFC title game, there is a little slight slippage in his game. And by the way, this could motivate him like the way Brady was motivated by Garoppolo. So I look at it the other way. I think Aaron might be in a good position because of this. Like, he's going to be like, I'm going to prove all these mother bleepers wrong, including Jordan Love. But what I would like for him to do is not ask for a trade, finish this out, guide Jordan Love the way Brett Favre didn't guide him, and then shove it in everyone's face when he can still win a Super Bowl. All right, coming up next, Dave McMiniman with the report on the Lakers and them opening their facilities. We'll talk to Dave in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. If you missed any one of our interviews today, Tom Telesco, the Chargers general manager, Cam Akers, the running back, newest member of your Los Angeles Rams, second round pick, 52nd overall. Check out the entire interview on demand section of the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcasts. Brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined and what's in your wallet. Approval required. Capital One, NA, member FDIC. And tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls and their dynasty. Series continues Sunday at 6 Pacific on ESPN television. Listen to the wrap-up show with Alan Sliwa and myself on ESPN Los Angeles' Twitter account immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm, AT&T, Cincoro Tequila, and our friends at Coors Light. And Dave McMiniman now joins us, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. So, Dave, we want to get to your report in a second, but we have a laundry list of things that we'd like to discuss with you first, specifically my poll today on National Superhero Day. Is Batman a superhero, Dave McMiniman?
Oh, wow. So because he doesn't have a superpower, you're saying he would perhaps...
Well, I'm not saying that. There are people on this show, Greg Bergman, who may be saying those things.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to read that deep into it. He's a superhero. He's a comic book hero. Michael Keaton, back when I was 7 years old, I wanted to get the Batman t-shirt because he was this cool superhero, could do things like drive a fast car and shoot things off his belt and scale a building. So yeah, superhero for sure. He fights bad guys.
Exactly. Bergman, this isn't that complicated.
You ruined the argument right off the bat by saying that it was me that was saying it, because once you say that I'm the one that's making the argument, whoever's on the air is going to agree with you, and it ruins the whole thing. You destroyed it, Dave. If it would have been the other way, Dave, you know it. You would have been like,
"That's
not true." No. He's not a superhero.
Dave, you act like Dave always agrees with me. That is not the case.
No, I just think that when you're talking to
I definitely disagree.
We disagree on a ton of stuff. Exactly.
No, that's totally fine. But when a guest comes onto a show, the very first thing you're telling him to disagree with you, it doesn't happen very often.
That's fine. It's not like McMiniman and I don't know each other. It'd be different if I didn't know him and that was the case. But I have no problems doing that with someone I know. You know what I'm saying? Like, get out of here. All right. Mm-hmm. Get out of here, Bergman. But we'll ask you this. On National Superhero Day, was Batman your guy or was there another superhero?
I was big into the X-Men, so I liked Gambit.
Ooh. Okay. That's an off-the-board option, I feel.
Playing cards that you could, you know, throw around. I don't know. I think the X-Men was like, that was my jam.
Okay. I like it. Off the board. I didn't think Gambit would be the guy you'd go with, but okay, I like it. All right. Let's get to your report now, and then there's other stuff I want to get to because there's a lot of, like, kind of weird, goofy basketball news out there. But the report, what is the report for anyone who hasn't had a chance to read your story?
The Lakers have had conversations with the LA mayor's office about potentially having order loosened for them in particular prior to the May 15th mandate, so they can be in line with the other NBA teams that will be allowed to practice starting May 8th with voluntary workouts that are going to be highly regulated with many, many safety precautions in place. Now, the Lakers aren't trying to put pressure on the mayor's office. They have no expectation on the mayor's office to grant them permission. But because they've put in all these protocols that they believe will keep their facility safer than the average person going to a Ralph supermarket, that they would, you know, like to see if they'd be given the dispensation to do so.
Dave, what are some of those protocols?
It starts from the moment the player arrives at the practice facility. They're going to get their temperatures taken while they're still in the car. There'll be designated medical personnel who ask them questions about how they're feeling. And obviously, if that information comes back, you know, in a concerning fashion, they won't even be granted access into the building. But once you get into the building, we're talking about sanitizing cell phone and keys. Only four players will be allowed in 90 minutes. So each player will have a half court dedicated to themselves. The Lakers are even discussing perhaps having the designated rebounder wear gloves. And so there's no transfer of sweat from the rebounder to the player. And then, you know, granular details like normally the players' lounge has food buffet style. Well, the meals will be provided in individual containers. And the weight room, the equipment has been rearranged so there's more space in between it so several players can be in there at the same time without entering into each other's space. And so the Lakers are just trying to do every single thing, really go overboard with their planning, err on the side of caution, and just really kind of just dip their toe back in to a return to basketball with no expectation that individual workouts would definitely lead to team practices. And even if we got to team practices, no expectation that team practices would definitely lead to games being played again.
Dave McMiniman joining us here, ESPN NBA insider, Lakers insider on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Do we know how it was received by the mayor's office?
No, quite frankly, I don't know. The one thing we certainly know is the mayor's office have a lot of things on their plate right now. But
sure,
we know that they have a strong relationship, Eric Garcetti, with the Lakers organization. You know, he was certainly involved in managing the people traffic that descended upon downtown for the Kobe Bryant Memorial. And the Lakers are a civic trust as much as they're a family-owned business. It's a part of the culture of Los Angeles. And so there have been many conversations with the mayor's office over the year. But again, like if it's May 8th versus May 15th, no one's going to be, you know, wringing their hands on the Lakers side of things. That's okay. But they felt like they have put in a safety measure protocol that they believe will be effective. And so they made the call and had the conversation, and now they wait.
Dave, you've covered LeBron for such a long time. We were just talking about kind of his normal method of just kind of getting ready for the playoffs, right? The ramp up. And even though he came out of the gate very strong this season, then there was, you know, clearly a time where he wasn't playing as intensively as he was early in the season. And then the ramp up really started again as kind of his normal routine. Where is he right now on being able to work out? I know he talked about individual workouts. Is he working out with his team right now? Is that being allowed? Is that something that's happening?
No, I mean, not working out with his team. The only information I have about LeBron's workouts is what he shared with several of us in a call several weeks ago, where he does, being LeBron James in Los Angeles and living in Brentwood and being around affluence, he has some friends with private gymnasiums where he's been able to actually do basketball activity. He takes his oldest son along with him, Bronny Jr. And, that means that he's allowing himself to keep up shots and keep up muscle memory and keep up dribbling drills, because those are the things that leave you. Really, your handles are the first thing that leave you if you don't play consistently. And he has a home gymnasium, a home gym, not with a court, but, you know, that he's working out 4 to 5 times a week, sometimes 2 times a day if he gets bored of making TikToks with his family. And he is, you know, there's no scientific evidence to this, but he's in the 95th percentile, if not higher, in terms of the best conditioned athletes in the NBA. So he has that going for him if and when they do resume. The question is, he's been able to defy Father Time for so long, but a guy who's 35 years old, trying to play basketball again after what could be a 2 or 3 month hiatus, is probably in a different boat than a guy who's 25 years old trying to do the same thing. And we'll see how he would tackle that challenge.
How do you view a potential return as far as guys around the league? Like, do you expect play to be very sloppy early on, even if they do get the 20 or 25 days of whatever training camp or even some games or whatnot?
I mean, I just think it would be the prettiest sloppy games we've ever seen, though, right? Like, I don't really care if it's right. Not efficient. I don't care if you see guys lagging on defense as they get their win back. It's better than watching a game that was 15 years ago, pretending like it's something I care about, like living life or death. I mean, we get basketball back. And so
yeah.
I think whatever version they can present, I'd be all for. The concern I have, and I think this is why we don't have a subsequent announcement coming anytime soon that we're aware of, that, you know, there are definitely going to be games, is how do you assure that players who enter into a game structure healthy remain healthy for the duration of that those playoffs, whether it's 7 or 8 weeks or whatever.
Right.
Sure, even if you have the testing, what happens if one player tests positive? Do you shut down the series? Do you remove that player from the competition? He's quarantined for 2 weeks. If it's a very significant player for that team, is the series then marred because it's like, well, you beat this team, but you didn't beat them with their leading scorer because the leading scorer got coronavirus. And so there's such a Pandora's box of questions that come up when you actually try to piece this together as a reality that, I don't know. You, one day you think it's possible. Another day you say, well, I don't know. I just don't know if they can actually do this thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation, clearly, for all the reasons you outlined. I can only tell you what, like, Jeff Passan has told us about Major League Baseball and the way they're viewing it. Now, granted, different scenario. They would be starting their season. It wouldn't be the playoffs. And they're expanding their rosters to 40 guys, which you don't have in basketball. One guy doesn't have the same impact. But their feeling was, according to Jeff and what he's heard from Major League Baseball about their conversation with health officials, is that, yes, you could take that one person out of the mix and, you know, monitor everyone else at that point as far as testing them regularly, daily, and things of that nature, taking their temperatures, doing all those things, and quarantining just that one person and not necessarily having to stop an entire game or series of games or whatnot. But in basketball, as you pointed out, it would be marred. It would certainly be an asterisk, right? Like we've dealt with some of that stuff before with short series because of, for different reasons, right? Lockouts and things like that. This would be unprecedented in its own way for a number of different reasons. But I think that you'd have to try to keep pushing forward, wouldn't you?
That's where my head's at. And I think if you concentrate on the worst case scenarios, it's going to be difficult to even take the first steps. And, you know, perhaps you had to just keep readjusting and moving forward. And listen, as much as I really would love to see some level of NBA basketball, and I just shared that, it will not be looked upon as the same type of champion as any other year. That's just the reality of it. And so if it becomes even further compromised by, once you start up the competition, some players are dropping out as they get sick, okay, it's not ideal, but, you know, there's still going to be players out there playing with something that matters to them, and there'll still be people watching, and it would still move the NBA and the sport of basketball forward. And so I am for moving it forward, but, again, the same day that I write the story about how the Lakers are taking precautions, I see a headline that Sebastian Telfair, who was, you know, a big-time prospect when I was in high school, watching him play in high school, he lost two family members to the disease.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, wait a second. You know, are we missing the point here?
Yeah, it's not an easy decision, but something that we'll have to see as the health officials kind of guide us through all of this stuff. But Dave McMiniman, ESPN, NBA insider, Lakers insider, stay safe, brother. Thanks for the time as always.
Yes, sir. Thanks, George. You too.
You got. Take care. There he is, Dave McMiniman. All right. That was a fun show. It's a good show. Smart show, fun show, informative. Hope we did our due diligence for you today and did you a service today. All right. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Dave McMiniman. Thanks to Cam Akers. Thanks to Tom Telesco of the Chargers. Thanks to you guys for tuning in, listening in, calling in. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See ya.